We're coming to the end now. Very soon the whole world is going to change. Christ knows this, but the disciples still have no idea what's coming. And now Jesus has one last quiet moment to prepare them. He won't have any other opportunities to teach them or advise them. They've followed him. They've learned from him. He's taught them how to pray, how to heal, how to cast out demons. They've come further than anybody else in learning what it means to be like Christ, but they're still only at the beginning. So what does Jesus say? What can he do in these last hours of quiet to prepare them to go on without his physical presence among them, to prepare them to go on to carry the gospel to the ends of the earth and to die a martyr's death? What he does is rise up from the table and without a word strip off his tunic, dress like a servant, tie a towel around his waist, fill a basin with water, and begin to clean his disciples' feet. There's an old reality show from the 2010s called Undercover Boss. I've only seen clips myself, but it was pretty popular. It ran for 11 seasons. Simple premise, a boss of a company goes undercover as a low-level employee and he learns his business from the upside down. And I think it was generally fairly heartwarming. You know, he'd recognize those unsung heroes in his organization and often reward them with a bonus or a raise. I mention this because I think maybe we might be tempted to see what Christ is doing here as a kind of undercover boss moment, as if he's offering these disciples one last bit of encouragement, sort of saying, you know, you guys are the real heroes. Or maybe it's a test, I don't know, maybe to see if they've been paying attention about all that loving the least of these business. But I don't think Jesus is doing any of those things. Christ is not playing a role here. He's not undercover. What Jesus is doing is making visible something that has been one of the defining features of his life since he arrived on earth, and that is his relentless humility. Christ is making his humility so apparent and so obvious to his disciples because this is the best way he can prepare them for what is to come. Only through humility can grace be received. And Jesus knows these disciples are going to need a lot of grace. You probably know foot washing was reserved for the very lowliest servants. Some rabbis said it shouldn't even really be done by a Jew. You should give it to a Gentile servant. It's demeaning to look after other people's feet, especially on roads that are either dusty or muddy and always filled with animal feces. John the Baptist rightly said he was unworthy even to untie the sandals of Jesus, as you would do if you were washing feet. I understand that to mean he was so far from being worthy to baptize Jesus, he couldn't even wash his feet. For a rabbi to stoop down and clean his students' feet would have been ridiculous. Nobody would have thought it was praiseworthy. Peter certainly doesn't think it's right. That's why he objects. But Jesus takes on this task, this most unseemly duty, because of his relentless humility. And what feet is he cleaning? The feet of Peter, who Christ knows will very shortly deny him three times. The feet of Thomas, tempted to despair at the thought of Jesus' resurrection. The feet of all of those disciples who are going to use those feet to run away in the Garden of Gethsemane when he's arrested. He washes the feet of Judas, feet that will surely carry him to betray his Lord. None of these men are worthy to have Jesus untie their sandals. But this is the way of Christ. He's been lowering himself since before he arrived as a poor woman's baby. Again and again, he eschews the spotlight. He goes to quiet places He does scandalous things like talk to Samaritans and heal on the Sabbath because he has never been concerned with his own ego. And he's about to lower himself even further into death. Jesus kneels here in front of his disciples in the same way he will kneel under the weight of the cross on the road to Golgotha. He strips himself the way he will be stripped and beaten. He dies to himself the way he will die for the world. And when he has reached that lowest point in death, he'll go lower. And he will go to the realm of the dead. This is not a change in Christ's behavior. This is a culmination of a lifelong pursuit of humility. And Christ's relentless humility is our reckless hope. But there's another kind of humility on display here in this scene of foot washing, and that's the humility of the disciples who allow Christ to wash their feet. It's the humility of Christ to clean. It's the humility of his followers to be made clean. Now, I have to confess at this point, I did not come up to have my feet washed at this service last year. I remember arguing with myself about whether or not I should. I think the argument went something like this: do I really need to go up to have my feet washed? I think I get the point. You know, it's just a symbol, but we're all supposed to wash one another's feet, and I'll try to do that metaphorically, of course. But in the meantime, I don't really feel like getting my feet wet. I'm not a bare feet kind of guy, you know. I don't wear flip-flops unless I'm at the beach. And Father West looks busy up there anyway. Maybe I'll give him one fewer pair of feet to wash. And when you think about it that way, it's actually more humble not to go up. So I'm already humble. So great. You see what I did there? I talked myself out of doing something that might actually have required some humility, to acknowledge my vulnerability, my need for grace mediated through this church. And I talked myself in to believing that I was already humble, and that instantly made me proud. I think you have to be pretty educated to be that dumb. Like Peter, I have to again and again set aside my ideas of how the Messiah is supposed to behave, and again be reminded that following Christ is not a job for the proud. To be made clean, one must first acknowledge that one is dirty. Without this humility, no grace can be received. So the disciples' humility is shown in allowing Christ to wash them. You know what I think? I think after the initial shock of seeing their rabbi stripped like a servant and washing their feet, after that wore off, I think the disciples remember this moment for the rest of their lives with great joy. Much of what Christ showed them was meant for the rest of the world, to teach and to heal and to pray, to show people the coming of the kingdom of God. But this moment was just for them. As Jesus took the feet of each disciple and cleaned them, it was as if he was looking at the dirtiest part of them, that part that just never got clean, no matter how many times they washed it. But he doesn't turn away from their dirty feet in disgust. He doesn't cluck his tongue. He just washes them. Jesus' relentless humility makes possible the disciples' humility. They can stand to let Christ see the dirtiness of their feet and of their souls because they see how relentlessly he puts himself in the lowest place. And those feet Jesus washed continued to follow him. Those feet ran to the tomb on the third day. They followed him one last time up to the mountain. to see him ascend to the Father. Those feet walked countless miles to carry the gospel to the ends of the earth. And Peter, the one who always spoke before thinking and tried to stop Christ from washing his feet, what happened to him? Tradition tells us he was crucified upside down in Rome at his own request. This was 80, 60 something. They speculate it's because he didn't feel worthy to be crucified like Christ, having denied him three times. Maybe. But I wonder if there's not another reason. I wonder if at long last Peter had gotten it through his hard head that the way to follow Jesus is head downwards, to seek the lowest place. And I wonder if he didn't glance up at his feet as he hung there and think, "Wash them again, Lord. I'm ready to enter your house and eat with you again." May Jesus Christ, the gentle and lowly one, make us clean tonight so that our feet can carry Christ into the world.